All right, so what I wanted to share on this morning was righteousness. About 6 months ago, I heard this teaching on righteousness, and it just changed the way I think about God and my relationship with Him. It just blessed me so much. It was like life-changing, because when you believe who you are, when you believe that you can stand before God righteous, it changes the way you pray and the way you think about Him and your relationship with Him. So everything we have spiritually in life is because of Jesus Christ. He gave His life so that we could stand in God's presence righteous. It's one of the perks that we get being born again. And every person who's ever been born is born without spirit. You know, and so God had His Son, send His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have a relationship with Him again. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. And at verse 7, now this is, you know, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden, and they eat of the tree that God told them not to. And in verse 7 it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, Adam and Eve, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, think about Adam and Eve in the garden with God. Can you imagine what a great time it was to be in God's presence all the time? It was the three of them. They probably had a party every day. It was probably such a happy life. They had everything. And then they went from being in God's presence, having that full sharing with God, to having those feelings of shame, guilt. They hid themselves. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. Up until now, they had that full sharing, no separation. It was just them and God. And now they had those feelings, okay? It was like being cold, lonely, depressed, expelled from the garden. What a lonely place to be, and how they must have felt like, ugh, you know. But, you know, God, and, you know, right away, what does God do? Okay, you're out of the garden, but I'm sending a Savior. In Genesis 3:15, He promises to make it right so that we could again have a relationship with God and be in His presence. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 40. So, God, before Jesus Christ came, still wanted to make His presence known to His people. And He made a promise to Abraham that He would take care of Israel, God's chosen people. And here they are in the wilderness in Exodus 40, verse 33. It says, "And he, Moses, reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." This is where God's telling Moses, "I want you to make a tabernacle for me." It was going to be a place where His presence was going to be known. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." See, God, it wasn't God, you know, couldn't give them His spirit right then and there, right? There was the separation, but to make known His presence so that they would know, "I'm here, I'm still with you," because He loved them. And verse 36, "And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So how cool is that too? That God wanted them to know that he was with them, that they could rely on him. So, you know, there's a cloud by day and the fire by night. And so God directed them when that cloud moved. Okay, now it's time for you to move. And if it didn't move, you just stay put, because he wanted to let them know that he was with them, that he would take care of them, and that they could rely on their God. So then God sends us a Savior. He sends us Jesus Christ. Now, in that tabernacle, there was the high priest went to the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. And but they couldn't be in his presence the way Adam and Eve were, right? There was a separation. There was a wall. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 14. Well, let's start in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So once again, there could be peace between God and his people. That veil is no more. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, that veil was rent in two. So there is no more separation between us and God. Jesus Christ did that for us so that we could have that full sharing with God once again. And in Romans 10:9, when we confess, this is the only requirement, that we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe that God raised him from the dead. At that point, we're born again. There is no more separation. We can go to our Heavenly Father and know that his arms are open wide, that he loves us, that he cares for us. It's the most life-changing decision we've ever made, right? Confessing this. Because once we're born again, you think about what you were like before you knew that you belonged to God. Because we are sons of God, God's chosen, his beloved. We're everything to him. We're everything he's ever wanted. That's, you know, when he created Adam and Eve, that's what he wanted. And now his son gives his life so that we could have this again, this full sharing with him. Those who accept Jesus Christ have a new nature. Our sins are washed away. We no longer feel guilty in his presence. Remember Adam and Eve, that guilt and that shame they felt, okay? Because they lost what? Spirit, okay? We can never lose that spirit. Once we're born again, it's a done deal. It's done. See? So there is no more guilt. There is no shame. We don't feel guilty in his presence. We have been made righteous. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't earn it. We were made righteous. The day you were born again, it was one of the perks. We became righteous in God's eyes. So cool. Righteousness is the ability to stand in God's presence with any feelings of sin, guilt, weakness, not feeling good enough. There are days when you don't feel good enough, where you make mistakes, we screw up, and we're like, there is no more hiding. This is just so beautiful. And I think about this all the time. God will never love us more. He will never love you more than he does right now. Isn't that crazy? Like, really, like, let that sink in. Nothing you've ever done or have done today or will do in the future will ever change that. He will always love us with that perfect love. Not because we deserved it, but because we need it. We didn't deserve righteousness, but we need his righteousness, the ability to stand before him. And so how does that change your prayer life? Like, you know, you could go to God and he's not looking at what you did. He's not ready to slam you. He just loves us. In God's presence, we can be bold. We can be confident. We can be fearless. We're not afraid to go to God because we know that he loves us with the perfect love. He's not mad at us. He's not mad at you. We have felt that way. I mean, I have. I don't know about you, but you just don't feel like you're measuring up. I used to have this list in my brain. Well, I actually wrote it down once. Now, if I need to read God's word, I need to speak in tongues, I need to speak his word, I need to give. I used to have my list. And when I would get in bed at night, I'd go down my list. I always fell short somewhere. You know what? God loved me just as much as if I never did any of those things. If I never read my Bible again, he's going to love me just as much. It's not about us and the works that we do. See, it's all about what Jesus Christ did for us. He did all of that. And I tell you, if you ever read Isaiah 53, and don't tear up, I don't know what's wrong with you. I look at that and I think, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. Jesus Christ was brutally beaten for me. And for me not to accept that righteousness that he made available. The price on me. I can't even imagine, you know, that God loved me so much that he would do that. I mean, the most precious thing to him, he gave. He just freely gave it. You know, it says that it pleased the Lord to let Jesus Christ go through that. Not in pleasing the way we think of it, but that Jesus Christ was going to accomplish this. It pleased God, the end result. You know, that what Jesus Christ did was going to bring us peace with him. That's why it's so important to realize who we are as sons of God. I'll talk forever. Oh, okay. See, God has judged us and found us not guilty. The verdict's back. You're not guilty. You're not. Who tries to tell you you're guilty? Who tries to tell you you're not worthy? You're not good enough. The adversary. When you know you are right in the sight of God, it gives your life meaning. You feel valuable, important, because the adversary will tell you, well, if you're smart enough, if you have enough money, you know, if you're talented enough, all these things, if you're the best wife, if you're the best mother, if you only, then you are of value. God says, you are so important to me that I had my son crucified for you. That's what he says about that. And Satan works very hard to talk us out of feeling that we're right before God, right? Puts all this crap in our brain to make us feel unworthy. Now listen to this. This is my other thing I love that I say to myself all the time. I have given God a million reasons not to love me. He hasn't accepted one of them. No one of them, not one of those reasons, has changed his mind and how he feels about me. Not one. I mean, I can go down my list. Well, God, you know, he doesn't care. All those reasons that we give why he shouldn't love us, they're not going to change his mind. You can talk till the cows come home, but he is not going to change how he feels about us. He just won't. God says you're good enough, smart enough. God says you're all of that because we belong to the Most High God. It doesn't get any better than that. Turn to Romans chapter 3. when I really started to think about this, the things that would bother me, relationships, like people that, you know, I would have a bit of issue with, it really helped me, because going into those situations or thinking about things, I'd think, you know what? God thinks I'm great. God thinks I'm perfect. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different. Don't let anybody make you feel worse about yourself. You know, I mean, we choose what we're going to believe, right? Don't ever let anybody talk you down from being a son of God. Verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that do what? Believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We couldn't do it on our own. We're always going to make mistakes. He doesn't look at them. He doesn't care. We have all fallen short, and we are going to. Being justified, verse 24, freely, no cost to us, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation or payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Okay, so this is all about what Jesus Christ did. And again, we didn't come cheap. That price tag was pretty hefty. God so loved the world that he gave the most valuable and precious thing to him. And, you know, justification, I love that. And I heard it explained very simply one time. Just as if I never sinned. God looks at me, I am justified. Just as enough as if I never made a mistake, if I never sinned. That's how he looks at me, pure. I'm just lovely and pure in his sight. Why do we try so hard when it's been so freely given? Our goodness is not based on what we have done. Satan tells us we have to earn it. God didn't make us righteous because we deserved it, but because we needed it. It's not all about us and what we do. I heard a really great explanation of this. The children of Israel, the first Passover, God told them to kill a lamb, get the blood, and put it on the doorpost, okay? And that the angel of death then would pass over, okay? So you have two families. You have this one family, and they are just so excited and blessed and thankful. They know, they believe in God, that that angel of death is going to pass over when they put that blood there. You got the next door neighbor shaking in their boots. I hope God comes through. You know, we're trusting them, but a little nervous about it. They get the blood. They put it on their doorpost. Okay, when the angel of death passes over, does it pass over both? Yes. Yes, because it's not by works. See, God did that. God told them what to do. They did it. See, it's not by our works. It's not by what we're going to do that's going to make us right in his sight. We just accept it. I just thought that was the neatest explanation of that I heard. Okay, and then falling short in our believing, okay, God knows that we fall short. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. Falling short in our believing doesn't make us bad in God's sight. We don't ever need to feel ashamed in his presence for any reason. And you think about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn sinners. People did things wrong. What did he do? He helped them. He healed them. You know, and Jesus Christ, he believed who he was. He believed, you know, when he was hanging on the cross, you know, they said to him, you know, if you're the Son of God, then get yourself down from that cross. You know, he saved others and he can't save himself. Jesus Christ believed who he was. He believed that he was God's son, and he had confidence in that. He didn't listen to what they said. He believed what God said. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. Well, you know what? Let's start in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now, if we're looking to Jesus, okay, are we looking at that sin? No. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ despised the shame. He rejected it. He refused to believe it. See? He despised that shame. I'm not taking that. He rejected that shame because he knew who he was. He believed God. And when God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, he believed him. That's my boy. Look what he did. Jesus Christ believed who he was. Turn to Job 27. We have to believe who we are. It costs God a great price for us to have what we have. Okay, so we know about Job, and he lost everything. And he had these three great friends that came to visit him. And they said to him, surely, you must have sinned. That's why all this stuff happened to you, because you sinned. Jim, did you sin? Is that why you have kidney stones? You know, are my eyes cloudy because I sinned to Sid's knee? Right? Look what Job says. Oh, I'm sorry, 27, verse 1, it says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, listen what he says. This is his response. As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. No way. He's not turning his back on God. He didn't curse God. He said, you know what? I'm staying put with God. I am. Doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter. God made it right, didn't he? Job got how many times more than, what does it say? Twice as much? I thought it was like three times anyway. I mean, he got twice as much as he had before because he stuck with God. Even though all that stuff happened to him, you know, and those guys, and who do you think worked in those guys to talk to Job that way? The adversary, always working to point the finger. He's called the accuser of God's brethren that accuses them day and night. And that's right before he gets his end. And it talks about that in Revelation, yeah. But he accused God's brethren. He does. He's the finger pointer. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Why Why would God answer your prayer? Why would God heal you? Who are you? You know what you did yesterday? You know, he'll never do that for you. Job refused, and he stuck with God, and he got twice as much as he had before. We are righteous no matter what things look like. No matter, you know, Kip did a great teaching last week on not looking, what was it, Bobby? Not looking at things that you see. Yeah. Not the five senses, right. Don't go, if I sit here and I'm looking at you and my vision's fuzzy, it's like, so my senses tell me, ooh, I don't know. See, it's not, either we are with God and we believe him or we don't. You know, we got to put our money where our mouth is. Our confessing who we are in Christ. God's not mad at me. He's not disappointed in me. He doesn't look at me and say, you screwed up. That's why your eyes are like that, because you screwed up. No. Jim, you're so screwed up. That's why you got that stone. You know, why? Our brains are stupid. But the adversary, are we going to look at what he says or what God says? Turn to Romans chapter 5. Verse 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Everything we have is free. We didn't have to do anything. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. He did it all. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, just as if we never sin. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, it's a gift, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We have been made free. We need to confess we are good, that we are right in his sight. Romans 8:1. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation, no sentence of death. Nobody condemn you, so why do you condemn yourself? And you know what? If you look at yourself this way and you don't judge yourself, you're not going to judge other people. And that's a big deal. You know, because when you lay on crap on yourself, you know what you end up doing? Laying that crap on other people. We do. It's a big deal. Romans 10:3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, it's God doesn't want us working for this. Nothing that we will do will ever make us good enough. We are only good because he made us good. We are worthy to stand before God in his presence, righteous, with no guilt, shame, condemnation. It costs God everything. On our very worst day, on the worst day ever had, you're perfect in God's sight. We are loved by God Almighty. Now, I'm not going to read it, but, you know, so when you think about Hebrews 4, going boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. Doesn't that like change everything? So when you realize how right you are in his eyes, that nothing that you'll ever do will change his mind about you, we can go boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. And we know he's going to hear us and he's going to answer us. It's all by grace, free, given to us for free. You know, so when you think about Jesus Christ and you think about his life and what he did and the heart God had, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us, that we could, so there's no more separation between us, that we could walk freely with him. It just makes life sing, doesn't it? So that's what I want to share.